I should have been here on 25th of February, but talking about Jesus as a good shepherd. But unfortunately, a chest infection gave me a really bad cough, and thankfully someone else stepped in then. At the time, largely out of curiosity, I asked my computer to write a sermon for me with the aid of Bing Copilot's artificial intelligence. It's a generative AI like ChatGPT. The results were interesting, though there were too many points for a three-point sermon. However, it did find a really good joke about a shepherd and an IT consultant. So if you want to know the joke, ask me afterwards and I'll send it to you. Did you know, incidentally, that if you ask one of these AI programs for a simple query, like when is the co-op open in Framingham, it takes about 30 times more power than if you just did a simple search like Google. And if you try ask it to generate a high resolution image of something, say the Pope wearing a padded jacket, it consumes a considerable amount of power, like half the energy to charge your phone, so I'm told. Now, we don't see that power because it's all going on somewhere else in data centers. Anyway, here I am instead with old friends, maybe new ones. I don't see any new ones anyway. And your bulletin says the series is entitled Come As You Are. I'm not quite sure what that means, but Ben told me I could choose anything that's Bible passage, verse, story, or theme I feel the Holy Spirit has placed on my heart. So this talk is about climate change and what we can do about it. The subject has indeed been on my heart for some time. So earlier this year, I started a small monthly group for the Forge Church in Debenham on climate change and practical steps. The first month, we had four people join up from the Forge Church. So I invited the Debenham Green team to advertise it, and straight away the course was full. Well, I didn't bother to advertise it, actually. And that includes two who are not Christians, which is interesting. Now, in that course, I'm using a series of short films made by Tearfund 3 years ago, where Catherine Hayhoe, who is a Christian climate scientist, a professor from Texas, explains much better than I can about climate change, the climate crisis, and how Christians are called to respond. So this morning I'm going to show just three of them, but they are short, don't worry. I also use them in a short series for our Debenham home group some time ago, and I put a link in the side so you can watch the rest on your computer or your phone later. But to start with, is there a climate crisis, and is it our fault? Or is it a mere conspiracy like vaccines or 5G and low traffic neighborhoods? In Europe, thankfully, there are few who still believe it's a myth or that humans have not caused it since the Industrial Revolution. If you do, I don't apologize, but I do feel sad. But we don't have time here to debate it. Climate change is not included in the subject index of our hymn books. If you look in the back of the Mission Praise hymn book, you find lots of subjects. Nearest, perhaps, is God the Creator. But then neither are subjects like politics or poverty or justice. However, climate change was recognized by Christian Aid some time ago as having the most impact on communities they are helping in third world countries, more than poverty, more than corruption, or even conflict. And that's why, as Christians, we need to do what we can to stop it getting worse. And everyone can make some contribution, as I hope will become clear. So in our first film, Catherine Hayhoe gives just a few examples of what the Bible says about the natural world. So to recap, there's RADA, not dominion over, but take care of. Abad Shama is to preserve, protect, guard, or keep a part of nature, creation, but not separate from it. Not egocentric or ecocentric, but theocentric. And in the next film, which we won't see, she shows how climate change is a poverty issue which affects the poor and vulnerable. It's a threat multiplier, but we'll expand on that later in another film. Then in film three, she discusses how to persuade others to care about climate change and the barriers people erect against that, such as, oh, it's far away in another country, or it's in the future, or, oh, the solutions are just too unpleasant, unpalatable, and make our lives worse. She advises us to identify with what other people already care about, like, well, I mean, random examples, hedgehogs, birds, wildflowers, clean air, whatever, and to show how climate change affects all that. She says, you already care, let me help you connect the dots. But in the fourth film, which we're going to see now, she asks what we can do as a church. So the main points Catherine was saying were talk about it, and that's what we're doing today and in my course for the Forge Church. Talk about why it matters to us, what we can do to fix it, not about the science. Children can make a difference. Act in community, which is what the Debenham Green Team are doing. They're doing some great work. I don't know what's happening in Framlingham, but I expect something is. In Woodbridge, there's loads of things going on in climate science, for instance. And share information and resources. For instance, one person on our course is an expert on electric vehicles. She runs a fleet of vehicles for a roofing firm. Another has been researching a community energy project in Debenham against opposition from the parish council, sadly. Support organisations that care. Well, I've joined Green Christian, which used to be the Christian Ecology Link, but there are local organisations. Now, the Forge Church so far are not doing a great deal in this area. Most people drive to church from quite a wide area. And like you here, we have no building of our own. So that's a plus in a way. And the staff primarily work at home. However, we use about 150 cardboard cups every week, claimed to be compostable, but you can't recycle or compost them in Mid-Suffolk. I'm looking into that. And the leisure centre should be getting electric charging points, we hope, which could make transport less carbon intensive. Charge your car as you charge your soul, perhaps. I don't know. And there's a furniture bank, which does great work. So it's not all bad. Debenham Parish Church is seeking grant funding for solar panels and an infrared panel heating system. And they have achieved Eco Church Silver status, which is basically by filling in a questionnaire. And the Church of England and the local diocese have both have many initiatives in climate action, biodiversity, and other environmental areas. Now, the next two films in Catherine's series, which you won't see, are about how to engage with other Christians about climate change. For instance, not out of fear or guilt, but out of hope and love, and particularly with those who disagree with you. Try and connect over something you care both, you truly share. But we move on to film seven, where she talks more about the impact of climate change on vulnerable communities. Remember that 3 years ago when these films were made, we were in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. Oh, is it the most important issue? Well, she says it affects everything else we care about today. To care about the health of the earth, all we have to be is a human who calls it home. And as Christ followers, we do already care about people. We've been given a new heart to love others as we have been loved. Now, in the remaining film, she describes how there can be a better future, what we can do about it. And it isn't too late. But if we did discuss that, it would be rather too late, at least for this service. I won't go into that. But I leave you with 3 points. Next slide, Julia. Talk about it, why it matters, what we can do about it, share information and experiences, act in community if you can. That might include activism, campaigning, or community projects. And do what you can individually. If you can afford them, install solar panels and buy electric car, heat pump, insulation, and so on. But there are other things that nearly everybody can do, you know, like LED light bulbs, reuse, recycling. Active travel means walking or cycling. Public transport, rail and buses. Change your bank account to one that doesn't invest in fossil fuels and so on. Watch the rest of the Tearfund films, run a course, raise consciousness. A hard time is coming, but God is with us. There is hope if we do something. What are we doing for time? One or two quiz questions. How much of the global warming contribution do you think the UK represents? Might it be 1%, 2%, 5%? Well, actually, it's only just over 1%, which makes you think, well, why are we bothering? But in practice, there are loads of countries which might contribute 1%, so it all adds up. Yeah, I think the 1% does include energy we import, as I know. Bill Gates has written this quite interesting book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster, the solutions we have and the breakthroughs we need. And he does deal with things like use of steel, concrete, cement, air travel, you know, goes through the whole of, tries to identify everything. And with all these things, there is a green premium. But he reckons that if we did all those things, including regulation, which is vital, we could actually achieve it. But that's it. Thank you. Any questions?
I suppose at the heart of this, Tony, is the need for people's hearts to change, because we could change the world in the way in which climate change affects people, but there is always the greed factor that if that isn't changed, then a lot of this will go into the profits of the most wealthy.
Yeah. Trouble is the chance of changing people, everybody's hearts is quite small. I remember in Devon and Winston, actually, he had a series called Philosophy 7. And John Cummer came to an early one, recounted how he'd been talking to somebody about the ozone layer, the hole in the ozone layer. And this chap said to him, surely my one deodorant isn't going to make any difference. And maybe he, you know, if it was left to individual action for people to stop using aerosols or to buy better aerosols, it might not have made much difference. But because there was regulation and there was a will in industry to change things for the better, it hasn't been left to those individuals who have the right heart to change their behavior. And it has made a difference. Yeah, I agree that changing hearts is good, but I don't think that alone will make a difference.
Why is using an electric car better when there's going to be a certain, quite a high level of carbon used to produce that electricity for the car?
Well, Yeah, I asked our electric car expert to give me some calculations. Unfortunately, I didn't manage to work out the carbon footprint of driving on a mile on electricity or on petrol. But I can tell you that for our plug-in hybrid, it costs about 4 pence for a mile on night rate electricity and about 20% on petrol at the current price. But in theory, if you've got solar panels, you can, and a fancy charging point, you can charge your car from the solar panels if you're not actually using it to commute during the day. Not all electricity is fossil free at the moment, but a very good proportion is.
Right. But then you've got the whole life cycle of producing the batteries and all that kind of
Yeah,
stuff.
that's a fair point, but people have looked into this and reckon
They
that
still think it's
over the
better.
lifetime of the car,
Right.
despite the extra cost and weight and so on, it is
It's still worth it.
worthwhile. Yeah, lithium slaves, yes.
Those who mine lithium and the other precious requirements for the batteries are often people on abject po poverty. So we don't see the real cost at the charging point. There is a huge cost to the human population who has to mine these things and get paid very little for it. Sell the electric car, Tony.
Well, that's an interesting point. I'm sure you can enlighten me on that later, Johnny.
If we talk about climate security, though, there's a big thing with regards to reducing the amount of plastic. Now, my job doesn't involve working a lot of plastic. And a lot of effort went into reducing the amount of plastic being used for food packaging and sort of thing. Last September, I was at a world conference on plastics. And one of the comments was that over the last 5 years, the net amount of plastic used for food packaging has gone down, possibly. But overall, the net amount of plastics used has gone worldwide. A majority of that plastic is being used in batteries for electric vehicles. Now, in saying that, who is making money? Still the oil companies, the oil produces plastics.
Yeah, well, I can't be an expert on everything, I'm afraid. But an interesting point is made by Catherine Hayhoe in one of the other films. She living in Texas, of course, she's in the heart of the oil industry, and she was invited to speak to an oil energy company, and in the end, she did go to that, and she says, well, we have to be grateful for fossil fuels, what they provided us, because without the fossil fuels, the Industrial Revolution would not have happened, wouldn't be where we are now. But we need to move on to greener sources of energy without using fossil fuels. And energy companies claim to be moving in that direction. How much of it is just greenwash, I don't know. But we do hope that they are moving in that direction. And as for plastics, well, Sue and I tried to have one Lent 2 or 3 years ago. We tried to have a plastic-free Lent. That is, try and buy food and other items without any single-use plastic. Well, a lot of things you can do. You can buy toilet rolls in bulk, which don't have any plastic. Okay, they're more expensive. You can buy if you go to Paul Free and Hall in Debenham, you can buy your meat without, which doesn't come in plastic bags, or you can go to You can go to Andrew Ward's greengrocers and take your own plastic bags. And a lot, we use compost, the cardboard cups at the forge now instead of plastic ones. So progress is being made, but it was very hard. You can't buy yogurt or cream in a cardboard container. It's difficult. I'm answered as best as I can.
Just asking about clothing, because a lot of it's recycled now, the new clothing that you buy in Primark and Tesco's and things, and it's been recycled. And is it better to buy frippery clothes from the charity shops or new stuff from that fits properly? And
well, I would imagine it's always better to buy secondhand clothing, whether from charity shops, which my daughter is amazingly good at, mind you, she does live in London, or from secondhand online, think Vinted and others, where you can reuse clothing. But I assume with Primark, you're talking about clothing made from recycled plastic, which is better than nothing, but still it's a vast use of resources and energy. We did have a talk on fast fashion at the Forge some while ago, but other people can answer better than I can on that, really. But go to charity shops, yeah. Buy your clothing secondhand online if you can. And try and reuse the clothes if you're fed up with them.
Are you convinced that electric cars are the future?
I think yes, but because of the uncertainties we talked about, there's the carbon footprint of making the car, the batteries, the source of energy, and so on. They're certainly much more of a future than hydrogen cars. I mean, Germany is trying to do its best with getting hydrogen as an alternative, but at the moment the quotes for producing green hydrogen, that is not hydrogen made from oil, are about 8 times cost of petrol or diesel. So they've got a long way to go. But electric cars are here. They have their difficulties. People can't always have home chargers. It's very expensive to use public chargers. But I think they will become more and more common. Not sure about lorries, though.
So, Tony, in your professional opinion, I was just wondering, do you think that dishwashers are a good idea as regards to a more flawed version of sampling it, a different kind of dishwasher? Just like your opinion, whether environmentally dishwashers are a good idea.
Well, trying to ignore any agenda there might be behind this. Which magazine have done some work on this, and I think I listened to one or two podcasts. Yes, there's a podcast called Sliced Bread on BBC Sounds, and it looks at various things to determine whether they are the best thing since sliced bread or not. And dishwashers was one. And it is claimed that a dishwasher properly loaded will use about a third of the water and energy of washing it up yourself. Now, I was not convinced of this for many years, I must confess, but eventually we did get a dishwasher. Sliced Bread says there's no point in pre-washing your dishes. If you're going to run a hot water into the sink and wash them all first before you put them into the dishwasher, that's not only unnecessary, but counterproductive. Now, if you had a double sink, and you had you have your soapy water, and then you have really hot clean water, you might be able to get away with a good system. So you wash it in the soapy water, rinse it in the hot water and stick it on your draining rack, unless you've got a slave to do your drying up for you. That's quite efficient, but still uses more water and energy than a good dishwasher, apparently.